Good morning. Who is glad to be in the house of the Lord this Sunday morning? It's a little cold outside. You may not have noticed. I did. But it's warm in the house. It feels good in the presence of God. And what we do is we have the opportunity, whether it's your first time here this Sunday morning, whether it's your 100th time here this Sunday morning, is we have the privilege to glorify our King of Kings, to lift up the Lord of Lords, and no matter what we came in here battling against, no matter what we came in here facing, we have the opportunity to say, God, you are holy, that God, you are good. And so if we could all just stand up, and can we make the decision this morning that God, no matter what song is played, no matter what word is spoken, no matter what I see and no matter what I hear, that God, you are good, and God, you are deserving of all of my praise. And so God, I may be sick this morning, but you are holy. And God, I may be tired this morning, but you are holy. And God, I may be battling. And God, I may be going through things, but God, you are holy. And there is victory in you. There is liberty in you. And so God, I give it all to you this morning.
And by your name, holy, holy, gives us, we give it back. He gives us breath in our lungs every morning. So we give it back through praise and through worship. If you haven't had it, said anything yet, just a thank you. Thank you, God, for letting him be here. Thank you, God, for your power. Thank you, God, for your holiness and spirit. Thank you, God, for being unlike anybody else. Being the perfect one. God, you're omnipotent. Lord, when you sent your only begotten Son, when you robed yourself in flesh and you sat him on the cross and he died and he had to pull himself up and struggle for breath, you looked over his shoulder and you saw me. You saw us. You saw us fail. You saw us fall short of the glory of God. You saw us trip up in our midnight hour as you saw your Son dying, as you saw yourself dying. But over the next shoulder, he saw our triumph. He saw our victory. He saw us succeed when no one else did, but he saw. That is why he sent his Son. That is why we say, you are holy, Lord. What you give to us, we give back to you, because you saw me. So what we do is we pray. We all have a need in our heart this morning. We all have somebody, either ourselves or somebody else. So if you'll come down today and pray for these people, Danny Bramlett, Aiden Early, Candy Goforth and family, Lacey Brown and family, Brother Griffith, Belinda Little, Wren Bowden, Jerry Susie Newberry, Desiree Newberry and family, Don Howe, George McCool, Lori Boltz, and any need that you have today, the ministers will anoint you with oil. Anything that you have, it is not too much for God. It is not too much for the one that we sing about who is holy, the holiest of holies. So if you come down today and step out in faith, Lord, we thank you for allowing us to be here. We thank you for allowing us to gather in your presence.
Oh,
to feel out in his presence right now. You don't have to wait until the preaching of the word to receive a healing. You don't have to wait until the preaching of the word to be filled with the Holy Ghost, but just feel out in the Spirit right now what he's wanting to do. The presence of God is moving throughout this place. Wednesday night series has been going on. The greatness is God's gift to you. If you have not been able to make it yet to any of the sessions, make sure that you come and you make it, that they are incredible series that you want to be a part of. Those are on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. We also have today, we will be having Brother and Sister Lucas ministering to us in service this morning and this evening. We are excited for what God is going to do today. We have also, our Outreach Alliance is hosting a Sundays After Sunday service. It will be, it's not cold enough, huh? We need some ice cream in the mix. And so we've got some ice cream that is going to be served. It's going to be in the Children's Church area.
Yes, yeah, and it's free. So everybody just come back there and fellowship. Get you a little sweet treat appetizer before your lunch.
If that's what you woke up this morning thinking, if I can just get to the ice cream, you're going to make it. And so make your way over there. It's going to be a great time. We appreciate our Outreach Alliance and the events that they are doing and the vision that they have. And so make your way over there. Yeah, give them a hand. Then on the 18th, we have our Ladies United Fellowship. It will be at Bratcher's Nursery at 6:30 p.m. And we also have our monthly mission pledge is going to be due on the 23rd. On the 25th will be our church business meeting. It will be on a Tuesday night. On the 25th, our church business meeting. On the 28th, a journey game night at 7 p.m. It will be $5 for pizza, or you can bring your own food. But journey, your age group, make sure you are there for a game night. It's going to be a ton of fun. And then also we're going to have our Jams events March 29th. It will be a kids rally. And we are going to be, make sure to get with Sister Victoria about any details or questions that you have. And they're also currently doing a calendar fundraiser for current and future Jams events. And so it is on a Facebook page if you have seen that. And it's just you find a day of the month and that's what you decide to give. If it's the first of the month, guess what you are pledging to give? $1. 31st. And so it is going to be a great, is there 31 days in this month? You can give 31. God will bless you for that extra dollar. All right. The extra $2, the extra $3, whatever it is, give it and the Lord will bless. Going into, yeah, it is March, right? And this event's going on. There it is. See, I was in it. And so, and also we're going to be having our prayer and fasting train for the pastoral transition team, committee, and process. And so it is a great opportunity for all of us to be able to consecrate and be able to align ourselves with the voice and with the will of God. And so that everybody that is involved, because you are involved, the transition committee is involved, the candidates are involved. We are all, as the kingdom of God, as the United Pentecostal Church of Paris, involved in this process. And when we align ourselves with one mind and one accord in prayer and in fasting, we are going to see the perfect will of God take place. And who is excited for the perfect will of God to be in Paris, Texas? Amen? Amen. We are excited for that. And so if you are interested to be a part of this prayer and fasting train, sign up in the foyer. Several people will take a specific day of the week, and you will pray and you will fast for all involved in this transition. We also have in April, it will be Ladies Joy Conference, April 3rd and 4th, and online registration is open for that. So ladies, register for that. If you're wanting to go, it's going to be a great time. And if the ushers could come, we're going to take our tithe and our offering, and we're going to move further into the presence of God that we've already felt in this place. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your presence and your ministry. And God, I pray that we don't just move on from your presence, but we continue to seek after you and your word and your will. Bless what is given and bless the giver, and anoint us to receive your word and respond today. In Jesus' name.
Worship till you're speaking in tongues. Isn't that good? I was talking to the Lord. I said, now, Lord, you know I got to make an announcement. Can you just back it up just a little bit? Because from the moment the service began this morning, I feel the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost just speaking in tongues in the presence of the Lord. But I have a reason for it, and I'm going to take just a minute. I was not going to, but I told the Lord a long time ago, back when I was 17 and started in the ministry, I said, Lord, every time I get a platform to speak about something that you've done great, I'll tell it. And I want this to build your faith. First off, Sister Formby shared with me this morning some things and blessed my heart, confirmed some things. And I want to tell you, I appreciate the elders that are just a few years older than me. I've gotten kicked over into that class a little bit because of the few gray hair that I have, but I know I'm not that old when I look in the mirror. But I'm so thankful for the elders of the church, present and past, because they built my life and helped me to be what I am. Last Sunday night, I got word just as I had stepped in the church, a terrible situation had happened. And probably you didn't notice because I tried to worship the same all the time, but I was so overcome with this burden that I could do nothing but just stand and speak in tongues because the situation was out of control, out of hand. There was no answer. There was nothing I knew to do in the circumstance. Sunday night, I stayed awake all night praying and waiting for calls and answering calls and texts. And Monday, I waited upon the Lord and asked the Lord, what can I do? I don't know what to do. It's out of my hands, out of my control. Monday night, I stayed awake all night. Tuesday, I awoke to the answer to texts and situations. And by 4:30 that morning, I began to make a plan of action. I want you to hear this real closely, because some of you in these last hours are going to face some devastating things. And I want to share something with you. I made my way at 8 o'clock to the district judge. I went to the district attorney. I talked to the police station several times. I talked to senior protective services. I did everything that physically you could do that Sister Donna used to. And in the medical field, I got answers and help pretty quick. But now that I'm retired, I'm not in contact with some of these people. And even though I knew all of these people personally, and some of them all their life, and they're younger than me, and I'm older than many of these in these positions, they looked at me and said, Brother Dickey, I'm sorry, there is nothing that we can do. I had an elder situation that could not help themselves, and they would not allow me to help them, and it was out of control and dangerous. And I call one of the ladies in the church that I call periodically to say, I need a miracle. I'm not ashamed to say, I need a miracle in my family, in my life. She said, Brother Nikki, I'll immediately call some to stand out. I said, I don't need the whole, I just need a few faithful to stand in the gap with me. And it wasn't but just a little while, just a few hours, that an unbelievable miracle, and I want you to know it was a miracle, took place. I asked for that miracle. Mountains was moved. Valleys were cleared. Everything was taken care of just like that. What are you talking about, Brother Dick? I'm talking about when you have no source, when you have no way out, when you hear the doctor say cancer, when you hear the banker say no, when you hear your family say we can't or we won't, whatever the circumstance is today, when those children are not active in your life and it's tearing you apart day after day, hour after hour, I want to tell you there's a miracle working God. Hallelujah. And I'm glad to be a part of a church that has a prayer group that you can call upon. And in just a moment, if you need a miracle, my God is able to supply it this morning. Give him a hand clap of praise, would you, just for Brother Dickey's miracle. Amen. But I want you to know, last Sunday night, standing in this altar, there were tongues. And I said, Lord, the Bible always says, pray for an interpretation. Please, Lord, send the interpretation. He said, okay, here it is. And I said, Lord, I don't feel worthy. I hadn't been used in the gifts of the Spirit in a good while. Another tongue went forth, and I said, oh, Lord, please send the interpretation. He said, I will, here it is. And I said, but Lord, I don't feel worthy. I haven't used the gifts in a while. And I said, but Lord, if you really want me to give that interpretation, I don't feel worthy. He said, the donkey wasn't worthy neither, but I spoke through him. Isn't God good about bringing us to where we need to be? Let someone give the tongues just one more time, Lord. That's out of the ordinary, because usually when tongues don't have an interpretation, we cease. And about that time, I don't know where you were or who you were, but so close to me it felt like it was in my ear. I thought I was going to jump out of my skin. The tongues came forth. And all I knew was just the first few syllables. I don't even remember what the interpretation was, and it wasn't picked up by the microphone. I wanted to hear it so bad to see what God had spoken. I just remember a few things. But I remember him saying, I've been with you from a child. And that's all I could remember. But I know that God was speaking and moving. God is speaking and moving in this last hour. Our world is in trouble. It's in turmoil. There's a lot of things happening. They're out of our control. They're talking about all kinds of problems and situations. Friend, I just want you to realize it is getting closer to the time of our Lord to come. And if anything, the righteous shall lift up their hands and worship and praise the Lord and say, God, just send that revival. And it is on its way. That revival is here today. And I believe God's going to bless our brother and sister Lucas to bless this church this morning and touch us. I told this individual's family, I said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's with me. And in the valley, he restoreth my soul. Now, I know we've already prayed for the sick, but the Lord has laid it on my heart one more time this morning. I'm taking up time. I apologize, but you can forego that ice cream for just a little while longer. But there's some people in our church that need miracles in their life. Brother Charles Fleming is chronic. And Sister Nell is sitting by him 24/7, and it's wearing her body down. They need a touch from God. Brother Don Howell has been given a critical terminal diagnosis of cancer, and him and Donna need our prayers today. My wife has a chronic illness. Doctors have told us that if her aneurysm was to burst, that we have very little time to get to the hospital. Told us to move to a bigger town. They just didn't know I had Sister Donna on my side. Amen. I mean that respectfully. Brother Alton Bristow, who sat behind me Sunday after Sunday, year after year, bless my heart, is in the nursing home, and he needs a touch from God. Brother Griffith is about to undergo surgery. He said, Brother Dickey, I've always been a giver. I don't want anything but prayer. But if you could send a text or card to any of these elders and let them know that you love them, he has to be careful because he's about to have surgery and he doesn't need to be exposed to any sickness, any diseases or whatever. But he needs a touch from God. Charlotte Murray needs a touch from God in her little body. Lori Bolt has broken both of her wrists. She needs a touch from God. The Newberries, Jerry and Susie. Jerry's had surgery. Susie has been sick. Desiree has, her father has passed away. We want to lift up the Newberry family this morning. And I wrote another name, but I'll declare I can't read it. It was Sister Desiree. I hate to take up time, but would you please just stand with me and with these names in mind, would you just lift your hand and just, if you don't take but one or two before God in prayer, I believe God can perform a miracle for them. But they need to know, and many of them are watching today online, they need to know that this church is still standing behind them. I want you to pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for miracles and that you are a miracle-working God. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that by your stripes we are healed. And that, Lord, you suffered that beating on your back, not just for our sins, but for our healing. And I thank you, Lord, that we have a church that believes and binds together. And I thank you, Lord, that your word says where two or three agree on any one thing, it shall be done. And so I come before you, Lord, for all of these that I have mentioned, but not just them, any one that I have forgotten, Sister Weems in the nursing home, many others that are shut-ins and unable to be here today, Brother and Sister Meyer that are out of town today, and with Brother Weatherwood, God bless all of these that we love and appreciate. I just pray, Father, that you would pour out your spirit upon them and bring healing and deliverance and miracles in Jesus' name, and let the church say amen and give a praise clap unto the Lord, would you? Amen. May the Lord bless you. I'll try to move a little bit faster, but not as fast. You may be seated as I did last Sunday. Thank you, Brother Rhodes, for covering for me. Last week, I normally have one page to read, and I had two, and I have two today, and I forgot one whole page, and he made it up for me Sunday night, and I appreciate that, Brother Rhodes, for covering for this poor old man. In behalf of the pastoral transition team, I'd like to introduce to you Brother Andrew and Sister Cassandra Lucas as applicants for the pastoral opening. Amen. Going to give you a little bit of history before they come. They have three children, Amelia, Aviana, and Remington, who's 1 month and absolutely a doll. Brother Lucas has a Bachelor of Theology from the Apostolic Bible Institute. While there, he was student body president. He was youth pastor at Dallas First Church in Dallas, Texas, under Brother Tom Foster between 2012 and 2020. Brother Lucas currently is youth president for the North Texas District, that's us, 2019 to 2025. And my grandson loves him because he's called him Pocket Knife for a good while now, and you've heard that story. He was is executive pastor also at Dallas First Church, Dallas, Texas, under Brother Tom Foster since 2020 to the present date. Brother Lucas has overseen multiple aspects of the ministry. I just want to let you know his experience right quick. He has been a youth pastor, done youth camps, youth conventions, missions, Bible quizzers, special holiday events, extravaganzas, singles conference, evangelist, teacher, assistant to the pastor, district youth president, and executive pastor. Sister Lucas, who speaks Spanish and spoke some for us yesterday, and I loved it, attended the New Life Church, Garland, Texas, under Brother Bobby Stanley from the age of 5. While there, she served as children's director, led the SALT Student Action Leadership Team program, ministered at the Louisiana Kids Camp, taught ministry training workshops, and guest speaker at Kids Revivals. She has coached junior Bible quizzing, led hospitality ministries and care groups. Sister Lucas has been a speaker at youth camps, hyphen events, youth retreats, and Spanish Ladies Conference. She works a full-time job as a vice president, energy finance portfolio manager at Comerica Bank since 2013. Her greatest ministry is the degree of WIFE and MOM. I liked that, didn't you? She is to her husband and her children, and that is her greatest ministry as wife and mother. They will be ministering again in our AM and PM services. I want to encourage all of you. We've had some wonderful prayer meetings at 5:30 in the prayer room. Please join us there tonight at 5:30. And I'm going to ask Brother and Sister Lucas to come, and I want you to worship with them. Would you stand and give a hand clap of worship? Amen.
So much. It is a privilege to be here today. You may be seated for a few moments. I do want to express our gratitude and appreciation to this church, to Brother and Sister Myers who are not here, but we love them so dearly. They've been family friends for many, many years. My grandpa and him ministered together in Ohio, and so our families have been connected for many years. We've ministered in this church a few times over the years as well, and have always loved being here, love this church, love all of you. And the transition committee that we got to spend some time with yesterday, we had a wonderful time, enjoyed it. You can tell that there is a lot of intentionality, a lot of commitment and a desire for the will of God for the future of this church. And while it is a privilege for us to be here today, that is our prayer as well, as for the will of God for the future of this church, whatever that may be. And so we're trusting that God is going to minister today and speak to you here today, but we have been and will continue to be praying for all of you as you pray and seek the will of God for the future of your church. I'm going to ask my wife to greet you. She'll share a little bit more tonight in the service, but I do want her to greet you this morning.
So good to be here. Just wanted to quickly greet you. As I was standing over there and worshiping, the sweet presence of God was here. And I know everybody felt it because I turned around and I could see tears flowing. And it brought me back to, it reminded me of some of the trials in my life. And that sounds weird because when you're in the presence of God, you're thinking about the good things. But it reminded me of where I was during those trials and how much I needed God, that desperation. Because it's during those trials that you get to know God a little bit more, a little bit different. Because He is the God, He's a great God in the good times. But it's during those trials, during those hard times that you see Him in a different way. He'll keep you, He'll help you, He'll be right there with you. And I want to share a scripture really quick. Exodus 14:14, one of my favorites is, "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." So it's during those times I want to encourage you, let the Lord fight for you. You're not alone in this. Hold your peace. Let Him fight for you. I just wanted to encourage y'all. It's so good to be here. It's good to feel the presence of God here. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. I am very appreciative of my wife. He introduced us a little bit earlier. We've gotten to speak to many of you already this morning and have gotten to know many of you over the years. As he mentioned, we have three children. Amelia is over there taking care of Remington. She will greet y'all in, you know, probably later, not the first time. I do apologize for that. If you meet Aviana, she was good. She already went to Sunday school. Didn't even say bye to me. She just went right in like she thought she owned the place. And so I guess a typical middle child. And but we are thankful to be here. Like I said, if you want to stand, I'm going to go quickly to the Word of God, Genesis chapter 26, beginning in verse 1, and we'll read through verse 4. Genesis 26, verse 1 through 4. I appreciate this worship team leading us into the presence of God. As he, Brother Dickie mentioned, just felt the presence of God. When they were practicing and I walked in, I felt God's presence so strong. And I'm so thankful to be in a church who has a desire for the presence of God, who seeks after the presence of God. I have to say something about my friends, Stephen and Callan, Brother and Sister Rhodes. I don't know what I'm supposed to call y'all, but it's Stephen and Callan. And we love them, always enjoy spending time with them, and many, all the familiar faces that we see here today. Genesis chapter 26, verse 1 through 4 says, "There was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands, and in your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed.'" I want to draw your attention there to verse 2, where God speaks to Isaac and says, "Do not go down to Egypt." Do not go down to Egypt. That is the title of my message here today. Do not go down to Egypt. Can you join me in praying today? We've already prayed. We felt God's presence. I feel God's presence here very sweetly and very strong right now. Can we pray and ask God to have his way? Lord Jesus, I thank you for the glorious presence we feel here today. God, if I had my way, I would love to just stay here, not go any further and just bask in your presence, but I do feel the direction of your Spirit to preach your word. I pray for this congregation this morning. You know every individual, you know every need, every heart, every thought, every mind, every word that has been spoken, every prayer that has been prayed, every tear that has been cried. And God, I pray here today that you would meet those needs, that you would build those lives, that they would find themselves in you and in your word. Have your perfect will, oh God. I submit myself to you. I submit my mind, my words to you. Have your way. We give you all praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Why don't you turn to somebody there close to you, greet them, shake their hand, let them know it's good to see them. Maybe you haven't smiled at anybody yet this morning. I believe that if you come to the house of God, you shouldn't leave without smiling and being smiled at. Y'all can go ahead and have a seat. In this story that we read, this passage of Scripture, you have to understand the backstory a little bit. If you have grown up in church or have been around church any length of time, you've probably heard the name of Abraham. Maybe you haven't attended church or been around, but you probably are familiar with the name of Abraham. He is the father of all who walk by faith. There's a Sunday school song that you may have heard growing up. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Right arm, Father Abraham. And you sing it for about 100 more. The secret is they developed that in Sunday school to kill time when preachers preach too long. And so that's why there's all these different motions. That was just an add-on. But Abraham, this man who walked with God by faith, who God spoke to him and said, "Go to a country I'll tell you about. I'm going to use you, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless others through you." And believe God and obey God. And I love how often it talks about Abraham. It says God tells him to do something, and then immediately The next day, he gets up early and he does what God told him to do. He does not delay. And so that is the legacy. He goes, and God promised him his descendants would be as the stars of the heaven. He promises him that he's going to make of him a great nation. And yet when Abraham passes away, there is only one son that God recognizes as the answer to that promise. So it's the man named Isaac. And so this story, this passage that we read, is God speaking to Isaac, this promised miracle of God. He was given to Abraham and Sarah when Sarah was not able to have children. Abraham was 100 years old by the time Isaac is born. And so supernaturally, God provides an answer to the promise, a miracle to what he had spoken. And so here we see the fulfillment of the promise of God living in the land that God had promised to Abraham. He is fulfilling one part of the promise that God had spoken. And here then we find everything seems perfect. Everything seems to be going the right direction. You're seeing the fulfillment of what God had said. And then a famine comes. It says there was a famine in the land besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. If you don't know what the term famine is, because for us it doesn't really matter that much. We may talk about a drought and know we need rain and things are dry and my grass is dying, but we're still going to have food. We're still going to have the things that we need. We'll still get everything. We're going to go to the grocery store. There's going to be things on the shelf. It may cost a little bit more, but we're not going to die. In their time, a famine meant there were no crops. It meant their animals would die. The produce would not sprout. They would not have the necessary things to live. It was something that was so vital, so important. It was life-altering for them and could be life-ending if it continued. And so here is the miracle promise of God, living in the promised land of God, but is still experiencing famine, still experiencing a time of no rain, still experiencing hardships, difficulties, and trials. Where in a famine, you're still sowing. You put seed in the ground, but what you put in does not come back. What you give out does not return to you. It feels like you are laboring and working and trying and nothing is resulting. How many times have we felt that way, where we're doing what we feel like God has told us to do? We're laboring in the way we feel like God has told us to labor. I'm living the way, God, you told me to live. I'm in the place you told me to live. I'm doing everything that you told me to do. I'm laboring. I'm giving it everything I have. Why is there nothing coming back? God, it feels so dry. I'm doing my best. I'm praying, but I don't feel you. I come to church like I'm supposed to, but I don't feel you. I hear the word and I obey it, but I don't see you working in my life right now. It feels like you've abandoned me. It feels like you have left me. It feels like there's nowhere to turn. You're not answering my prayers. God, I'm asking you for rain, but you're not answering my prayers. God, I'm asking you for healing, but you have not healed me. I'm asking you to save my children, but you have not saved them yet. The promised chosen ones of God, living in the promises of God, and yet feeling like God is not there, and God does not hear, and God does not answer. Or even what you did have seems to be leaving. Even what you do invest seems to be going. You're giving, and yet you're struggling to pay your bills. You're giving, and yet you have no extra. You work, you give, you sow, and reap nothing. See, it says that there was a famine in the land after the famine that was there for Abraham, because every generation has a famine. Every generation is going to have to struggle and pay the price. Isaac had heard the stories from his daddy. Isaac had heard Abraham tell him about the faithfulness of God. Abraham would sit Isaac on his knee and say, "Son, let me tell you about when God spoke to me and he told me what he was going to do. And I trusted and I believed in it. It took a long time and there were famine in my days, but God always cared for me. He promised me a son and for years it was never fulfilled. But then finally you came along and you've brought so much joy to my life." And he was there when God spoke to Abraham to offer Isaac his son on the altar. And Isaac saw it. He was a part of it. But it was always his daddy's stories. It was always what the previous generation had done. And I love looking around a church that is so diverse in ages, where it's not just young, it's not just old, but you have everything in between. But sometimes we rely on the testimonies and the victories of the elders. And I'm thankful for the elders. They're so vital. There's such strength that the elders bring. But there comes a point where it cannot be the stories of my elders. It cannot be the stories of what God has done in the past and the revivals that we've seen in the past and how God has answered in the past and God has healed in the past. At some point, we need to see it and experience it for ourselves. We can't just say, well, yeah, back then God did something and yeah, that was great. But there is something in our day that God is wanting to do. It is not just a church of yesterday. It is not just a church of tomorrow, but there is something here today that God is wanting to do. And so Isaac has heard the stories of how God is faithful. He's heard the stories of how God speaks. Abraham talked with God like a man talks to a friend. But Isaac, as far as we see, has never heard the voice of God. As far as we can tell, God has never spoken to Isaac. Isaac has never had to go through anything on his own, but now his daddy and that generation has passed on, and now Isaac is in a famine on his own. Every one of us are going to face a famine in our life. Many of you are facing famine in your life right now, in some way, in some shape, wherever it may be, whatever it may be, you're experiencing, you're struggling, you even come here today and didn't even know why you showed up because it feels like you get nothing. Other people around you say they feel God and you don't. Other people talk about how God answers their prayers and you have not seen it happen. It feels like there is a dryness in your soul and in your spirit. And you wonder what is going on. You wonder, why am I going through this? I thought I was in your will. Maybe I'm the only one who ever thinks that way because I don't see you. And if I was really in your will, would I hear other people say? We have this notion in Christianity that if I live for God, everything's going to be perfect. We honestly, sometimes as Christians, I think we do a little bait and switch. You work at a car lot. You don't ever do that to people, right? Post a car and then they come like, oh, I don't have this, but I have this one over here. I think sometimes as Christians, we're like, yeah, if you come to the Lord, he's going to solve all your problems. You're never going to have any issues again. He's going to heal every sickness, and he is a healer. I absolutely believe that. I've seen it done. God is a deliverer. Absolutely, I've seen it happen. He is a provider. Absolutely, he is. All these things are true, but we act like once you give your life to him, there will never be any issues in your life again. And that's not true. But what happens is then we've been living for God, and when we first came in, we were a baby, and God would take care of everything. God would clean us up. He'd take care of us. He would protect us, deliver us. And then we grow up, and then we start encountering some things in our life. And then we get shaken because, God, I thought that if I did everything I was supposed to do, that I'd never have problems. I thought my family would not fall apart. I thought that we would have more than enough money. I thought there would be all these things, and life was just easy, and life, it was just always just in your presence, and just always so wonderful and so easy and so great. And we start struggling and start wondering and getting kind of turned aside and feeling like maybe we should go back, or maybe I'm not right. Maybe this isn't everything I thought it was. Maybe I'm not in God's will, and we start looking around for somewhere else to go. Because clearly this, I'm in a famine, this is a dry place, and God would never have me in a dry place. God would never send me into a time of difficulty. God would never send me into a place where there's dryness, where I'm not reaping, where I'm not harvesting. That's not what I've heard about. That's not what I have chosen to believe. So that's where Isaac finds himself, in a time of famine. And as so many of us do, we have a desire to avoid difficulties. We have a desire to escape. When we face something hard, how do I find something easier? We live in a generation in society who does not want to do the hard thing. We want the easy way out, and if we don't succeed, we blame other people. Well, it wasn't anything wrong in me. It must have been society or the teacher or the boss. It wasn't my fault. And so we escape from responsibility and we escape from the things that we face in life, the difficulties. We escape into social media. We escape into TV and movies. We escape into games. We escape into other people's company. We escape into whatever it may be. But we don't want to face what's going on, because if it was all right, then it wouldn't be so hard. If this is what God had for me, it would be easy, not hard. And the temptation comes to give up, to give in, to go back, to sell out, to get out, to throw in the towel and just say, forget all of this. It's not worth it, because it's hard. It's lonely. It's not easy. The temptation comes to just give in. And I've seen people they're in a time of struggle, but instead of running to Jesus, they run away. Instead of staying in the place where God has them, they run away. And that's where Isaac is at. He looks at everything around him and the dryness. And yes, I know God spoke to my daddy that this was the promised land, but it don't feel like the promised land. I know God spoke to my daddy, and that's my daddy's God, but I don't know about right now, because I'm going hungry and my family doesn't have what they need, and we're struggling, and me and my wife are starting to fight. And you know, there's a place I've heard about called Egypt. My daddy went to Egypt one time, and he told me about Egypt. Other people are leaving and going to Egypt. They're going back down the road, and I hear they have plenty to eat, and I hear it's easy for them, and they don't have to fight the battles we're fighting, and they have plenty of rain. And he starts thinking about, man, is this really? He starts questioning what God has spoken to his father. He starts questioning the God of his father. He starts questioning everything around him, and he it seems like the easy way out. And Egypt, of course, you may know in Scripture, is often a type and shadow of sin or the world. It's walking away from sound doctrine. It's walking away from the truth we find in the Word of God. It's walking away from living a holy lifestyle. It's walking away from faithfulness to God. It's walking away from the church. It's walking away from those things that God has brought you into in search of something easier. Because it's kind of hard sometimes living for God. It is a weight to carry sometimes. You know, Jesus, we like the part where Scripture says to cast all our cares on him because he cares about us. But you know, he didn't say for us to, he said, you know, take my yoke upon you. And because my burden is easy and light, there is still a burden that we must carry as Christians. We are called to carry his burden. And there are times where it gets heavy, and at times where we may stumble. And the temptation then is to run away to Egypt. In times of difficulty, it would be easier to just go to the world, or it'd be easier to go this way or that way. And if you feel that way, you are not alone. In Psalm 73, the psalmist said that my foot almost slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. The psalmist, someone who God used to write Scripture, talks about a time in his life where he was struggling and he did not have everything he needed, and he was facing trials and turmoil. And he looked at the world around him. He looked at those on his job, and it seemed like their life was better. And he said, my foot almost slipped. He said, I almost gave up. I almost backslid. I almost just ran away. I almost gave up on everything that I had. Said, but then I went to the house of God. Then I got in the presence of God. I went back to that place where the true answer is, because we don't serve God for what he gives us. We don't serve God because of what he does for us. We serve God because of who he is, and because he is worthy and he deserves everything that we have to give him. And so here is Isaac in famine. He is the promised son to Abraham. He's an answer to prayer. He's living in the promise. And I want you to understand that he was who God designed him to be, living in the place God designed him to be. He was where God called him. He was what God called him. And yet everything was going wrong. But it was in this moment, it was in this famine, it was in this trial where God first appears to Isaac. It wasn't on the mountaintop somewhere. It wasn't in the great times of life. I don't think my wife knew what I was going to be preaching today and what she shared at the beginning, but exactly what she shared is what I was feeling. It's not in those high times of life where God will show himself the most. It is in those low places. It is in those trials and difficulties. It is in darkness and despair that God shows up and reveals himself in a new way to us. It's when we have nowhere else to turn and nowhere else to go and everything is falling apart that God will step up. And it's here that God first appears to Isaac. And now Isaac, he's heard the stories, but now God is there appearing to him. And God says this. The first words he says to him is, don't go to Egypt. Don't go to Egypt. Do not walk away. Do not give up. Do not throw the promises of God away. Just because things are hard. Do not give up in this moment, Isaac. Isaac, if you will stay, all you have to do is stay and I will bless you. Your daddy, the price he had to pay, I told him he had to leave his family, leave his home, leave his land and do all of that. Isaac, all I'm asking you to do is stay in the land. All I'm asking you to do is just stay because you will reap if you faint not. You will make it if you just don't leave. And I feel like there are some today struggling and battling and wrestling of what I should do. Should I give up? Should I give in? And all God is asking of you right now in this moment is just to stay. Do not walk away from him. Do not give up. Do not back down because he will bless you. He will give you what you need. He is going to fulfill his promise if you will stay. Do not go to Egypt. Do not walk away. Do not walk the easy path. Don't go back to the world. Don't go back to that sin. Don't go where it seems easier. Because the human nature is that grass is always greener on the other side. I have a terrible lawn. Just my grass is brown. My grass is patchy. And it's because I've tried to get it to be better. I used to have a super green lawn, even in the winter, because it was all weeds. Driving up the street, my lawn looked amazing. It was really terrible, but it looked amazing, because it was just a bunch of weeds. And I think my neighbor in competition, even he got sod put in, trying to like compete with my lawn. And I'm like, sucker, this is just a bunch of weeds. You didn't have to pay all that. I mean, you could just come dig it up and put it in your yard. But that's human nature. We look at what somebody else has, and we think that looks better than what I have. It's greener over there. It would be easier over there. I could leave all my problems behind, and I could just go over here, and it would be so easy. It'll just all those problems will go away. And the fact is, they usually do for a little while. And so the immediate response is, Noah, that was the right thing. That was the right thing to do. It is so much easier. If you ever see somebody walk away from living a holy lifestyle, their first response is, I feel free. Always. I feel free because they have cast off restraints. They have cast off a burden. They have cast something off and they feel free. But then you look at where they end up. There's a story in Scripture. There's a whole book in the Bible called Ruth, and it's a story. It ends up being about Ruth, but in the beginning of the story, there is a man and woman, Elimelech and Naomi, and they have two sons, and they're living in the promised land. This is years on down the road after Abraham and Isaac, and they have a famine in the land, and they choose to leave. They choose to leave the promised land because it's famine and it's hard, and they go out to the world. They go to a wicked nation, to the Moabites, and they live among the idolaters. They live among the people who fought against the people of God. And for a little while, it seemed easy because now they had food, where before they were scraping the bottom of the barrel. But in the land of Moab, in that place where they thought they would find freedom, they lost everything. Both of their sons got sick and died. Her husband got sick, and died. What they thought was going to be their freedom, they lost everything. And I'm telling somebody here today that if you do what you're feeling and you want to do, if you do what you think you should do in this moment, that you will lose everything. In the moment, it may seem easy, and in the moment, it may seem like everything just smoothed out and life is better, but I promise you, unfortunately, I know this because I've seen it happen. If you walk down that path and you walk away from God and you walk away from the church, you will lose everything. You'll lose everything. That doesn't give me joy to say, but I've seen it to be true. When people walk away from the promises of God and they walk to Egypt, you will lose everything. It's not going to be better. So I challenge, I encourage, I ask of you to stay where God plants you. To stay where God has placed you. I'm not just talking about a physical location, okay? I'm not saying you have to stay right here for the rest of your life, but I'm talking about staying rooted and grounded in the things of God. Stay rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And I will say that until God tells you to leave and go somewhere, you should not leave. Me and my wife have made a commitment from the time before we were dating that wherever God sends us is where we will go. And we will not go if God does not send us. Where God planted me is where I will stay until God removes me and puts me somewhere else. And that is a great way to live, because if God placed me there, it is His responsibility to make sure I survive there. If He planted me there, it may be dry most of the time, but He'll make sure that there is enough to sustain me. But when I walk out of His will and I decide where I'm going to be planted, what I think is best, He has no responsibility and He will not sustain me. It is up to me then to carry that load on all by myself. And so when you find yourselves in times of famine, do not leave. Do not walk away, because God is still faithful, even in times of adversity. Because it was in famine. Isaac was not alone. It looked like he was alone. It looked like God had forgotten His promise, but He was not alone. How often does God reveal Himself in Scripture or in our lives in times where we are facing difficulty? How often is it that He shows up in those moments? The story of Joseph in Genesis, where Joseph, he's hated by his brothers. He's thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, and then he's bought by a man named Potiphar in Egypt. And that's not where he wanted to be, but it says that God was with him in slavery. Well, God, if you're with me, couldn't you just get me out of slavery? No, that is right where I want you. And then he gets lied about there, and he gets thrown in prison. And it says that God was with Joseph in prison. God, if you're really with me, get me out of here. Deliver me. Break open. I thought you were the one who breaks chains and opens prison doors. Why are you not doing that for me? And God's saying, because I'm preparing you for something. If you are not in the prison, you will not be there when I need you to fulfill your purpose. If you take the easy way out, you will not be where I have called you to be. And so God is with him in the prison. God is with him in slavery. God was with Moses in the wilderness. That's where God first appeared to Moses, was in the wilderness, not in the king's palace, but it was in the wilderness. Even Jesus went to the wilderness, was led there by the Spirit. If we are truly led by the Spirit, there will be times where we go into wilderness and famine seasons in our lives. And if we truly pray and say, God, make me what you would have me to be, or God, change me. I pray the prayer often that I want to be the clay on the potter's wheel. God, form me and make me. And then God starts putting pressure on me, and God starts turning up the heat on me, and I get uncomfortable, and I'm like, God, what's going on? And I'm like, oh yeah, you're answering my prayer. Because for us to become what He wants us to be, there must be pressure, and there must be discomfort, and there's going to be pruning. He's going to remove impurities from us. We think we're doing pretty good. We think we're living for God and everything. We're a great Christian. And then something happens and God reveals something in us. And then, man, God, I'm so sorry. I didn't even know that was there. God's just trying to work on us and develop us and change us and make us into what He would have us to be. The law of God was given in barrenness in the wilderness. It is in those times. Paul wrote, and I love this verse, it says, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection, in the power of healing. I want to know God in the power of his name and in the power of salvation. Yes, that is all great. But he said, I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. There is something about those times of suffering and difficulty and hurt and pain that draws us nearer to God than any other time. It is in those times where we truly understand his grace. It is in those times where we truly understand his loving kindness and mercy. If we are to know him as that friend that sticks closer than a brother, as our heavenly Father, it is in those times of difficulty and struggle that he reveals himself to us. And so while I'm not encouraging any of us to chase after difficulties, I am telling you that when you find yourself there, do not run from it. Because it's in those moments God is going to show up. God is going to reveal himself. God is going to show himself strong on your behalf. Because in this famine, when God speaks to Isaac, he says to him in verse 3 and 4 that we read, dwell in this land. Dwell in this place of dryness and barrenness, and I will be with you. Again, God, if you're with me, make it a place of prosperity. No, God says, I will be with you in barrenness and dryness. He says, and for to you and your descendants, I give all these lands. The purchase price of the lands was to endure the famine. What you're going through is not only for you, but it is going to bless your children and their children. It is going to bless others around you. It is going to be a light to others around you when you endure the famine. He goes on and says, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. Remember that promise I gave to your daddy? But now, God says, and I will make your descendants multiply. Those things that used to just be your daddy's that you heard stories about, Isaac, I'm giving those promises to you. Isaac, I will bless you. Your descendants will multiply as stars of the heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. It is in the famine where we get the promises of God. If you want the promises of God, you have to be willing to endure the famine. They do not come without a price. Every promise that God ever gives always requires us to do something. There is no free promises. It's always you give up something to get this. Now, what we give up is always less than what God gives us. We always get more than what we give, but there is a requirement of enduring and giving in order to attain. There is nothing that God will just give us that does not require something of us. He says, if you will stay, if you will be faithful, if you will endure, then I will bless you. And if you jump on down to verse 12, this is an incredible statement of Isaac's faith and Isaac's obedience. He stays in the land, but then in verse 12, it says, then Isaac sowed in that land. Why are you sowing? Because you understand, for them, what they sowed was the seed, and the seed was also their food. And so what he is doing is he is giving up a meal for today in hope and trust that there will be a reaping in the future. He is giving up, sacrificing now, trusting God to provide in the future. He is taking the last meal from himself and his family and saying, God, you said it, and I believe it, and so I'm going to put it in the ground. I'm going to allow everything that you've given me, even though it's not very much right now, God, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to plant it, and I'm going to sow it, because your word says that what you sow, you will also reap. And so, God, though I don't see it right now, I'm going to keep sowing. Though I don't see it right now, I'm going to keep planting, even if that means sacrifice. Can I tell this church here in Paris that even in times of famine, keep sowing. Even when people leave, keep sowing. Even when people hurt you, keep sowing. Even when it feels like there is a famine, keep sowing. Be willing to sacrifice and give what you do not have. Be willing to go above and beyond when you're tired and you're exhausted and you say, I don't feel like it's doing anything. Just keep sowing. Just keep sowing. Just keep planting. Just keep putting that seed in the ground. Because it says that Isaac reaped in the same year a hundredfold. And the Lord blessed him in the year of famine. In the time where everybody else still is experiencing dryness, because he obeyed and he stepped out in faith and said, God, I don't even feel it. It doesn't make sense. Faith is not a feeling. Sometimes we will say things like, I feel faith in the room. And I'm not against that saying. I've said it. I'll say it again in the future. I love when I feel faith. But faith is not a feeling. Faith is an action of obedience. Faith is saying, I don't feel it. And it doesn't make sense to me. But if God said it, then I will obey it. Because God's promises are yea and amen. If I say yes, then there is an amen. There is a completion. There will be a fulfillment. What God says, he will bring it to pass, because he cannot lie. He cannot lie. He cannot fail to do what he said he would do. And so even when you don't feel it, even when you don't experience it, trust the word of God and keep walking after the word of God. Keep walking in faith, doing and believing what God has said. One of my favorite scriptures is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13. And musicians, if you want to go ahead and come. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 says, even when we don't believe, he will be faithful. Because he cannot deny himself. It says that is who he is. That even when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even when you walk in a place that it feels like death is hovering just over your shoulder, even when you walk in those places where it does not feel like you are going to make it out, it feels like there is no answer, it feels like there is no solution, your family is gone, your marriage is broken. Your marriage is ended. Your kids have left God, left you, left the church. You have no money. The bank is telling you they're going to foreclose on your home. The doctors told you there's nothing else that they can do. Even when I walk through that valley, I will fear no evil. Even when I walk in a place of darkness and loneliness and famine, even though we all come to church and we all put on a good face, we dress nice, we don't want other people around us to know the things we're struggling with, things we're dealing with, because what will they think of me if I let on that I'm in a dry place right now? What happens if I let on that I'm struggling right now, that I don't feel very close to God, and I don't feel very much like a Christian, and I don't feel like God, and all y'all were talking about how much you feel God's presence earlier, and I didn't feel a thing. What is everybody going to think about me? God is not here to condemn you this morning. God is not here to lay some heavy thing on you this morning. But I do feel like God just wants to minister to some people in a very sweet way. Just let you know that you are not alone. Where you're at right now and what you're facing, you are not alone. He has not forgotten you. He has not abandoned you. He said, I will never leave you or forsake you. Do you understand the magnitude of the promise of the God who created the universe, that he would say to you, I will be with you. Even when you're a time of darkness, difficulty, and struggle, I'll be right there beside you. I'll carry you. I'll help you. All you have to do is just stay. All you have to do is have enough. Just stay. I could tell you countless stories of people who have lived for God and have stuck it out through difficulties, even when they had no answers, and how God was there. And unfortunately, I can also tell you countless stories of those who walked away, chose to walk down to Egypt because it seemed easier, because it seemed like the thing to do in a dry and hard time. And standing here now watching where those two roads led. I'm asking, and I do feel, and as I was preparing, I did feel like there is somebody here today that has already made up your mind that you're about to walk down to Egypt. Whatever that means for you, that you are getting ready to head to Egypt, that you're going to walk away. Maybe you've even said to yourself or to a family member, this is my last service. I'm not coming back. I just feel like a loving father is here today saying, don't go to Egypt. Just stay here. If you'll stay here, I'll be with you. If you stay here, I won't leave you. If you stay here, I will bless you. Just stay. Can we all stand? I do feel that sweet witness of the Spirit moving in here again. Right where you're at, I know a lot of times we come to the front, and we will in a moment, but right where you're at, so that nobody feels out of place and nobody feels, and this is not how we normally do it, but can we close our eyes all across this place? And as they begin to play and sing, can you lift your hands? Just begin to talk to Jesus. Maybe you haven't really talked to him for a long time. Can you just begin to let him talk to you? Those things that you've been struggling and dealing with, can you just be honest with him? Say, God, I don't understand, and I don't see a way through. I don't see a way out. But God, I trust you. I trust you, Lord. Yeah, just begin to let him talk to you. Maybe this is your first time here. Maybe you've been here 1,000 times, but just let God minister to you right where you're at right now. Just let that sweet presence of the Lord draw you near to him. Some of you have some promises that God has given you. He's spoken to you, but you've allowed them to slip because it's been so long and you haven't seen anything. You haven't seen anything happening. You haven't seen any change taking place. But God is just wanting to reconfirm and renew some of those things in you right now. What he has spoken, he will bring it to pass. Those promises he's given, he will bring it to pass. Those children he's promised to bring back, he will bring it to pass. Those healings that he has promised, he will bring it to pass. You just keep sowing. You just keep sowing. You just keep giving. You just keep doing it. Stay in the land. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm going to invite everybody to come to the front and just stand here. And just for a few more moments, we're going to respond. If you would, I'm going to invite everybody to come. Go ahead and make your way down. Make your way out of your seats. Just in an act of faith that, God, I'm going to take that step. God, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay. Go ahead. Go ahead and make your way on down. If we can move on in, don't stop in the aisles. Let other people get on through. And as they continue to play and sing, can we just, again, just down here in the altar, can we lift our hands? Just let his presence speak to you. So used to the fire falling and the big that we lose sight of the intimacy with God.
Always holds me close.
Wherever you find yourself, God is right here. Whatever you're experiencing, God is right here. Encourage the church. If you feel led to go pray for somebody, feel free to encourage a brother or a sister. Just put your hand on a shoulder of somebody. You may not even know what they're going through. Maybe you do, but just to bind together with somebody, if you would feel to.
Hallelujah.
Spirit lives within me.
so much for your response to the word, the sweet presence of God that is here. If you're praying, you continue to do so. But just a quick reminder, there is ice cream after church, so don't leave right away. I think some people have already headed that way. It's free. Am I right? It's free. Not much better than free ice cream after church. The things of God are much better, but after we've got the things of God, some free ice cream sure does close it out good. Don't forget prayer tonight at 5:30, service at 6. God is going to move in the service. We look forward to seeing y'all here tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed.